The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Never heard such. Well, we've been to church tonight, haven't we?
Amen.
Yes, sir. When I grew up, I want to sing just like Brother Barnes. That was... He does need to put some feeling in it, but other than that, it was good, you know. It was good. Well, I'll quench the spirit now. I want to talk about giving. You know, we're strong about saying we're Bible believers, aren't we? And I know what we all mean when we say that, and we believe the Bible. And so when someone comes by and says something that ticks us off, it kind of bugs us a little bit. But we really need to investigate what we really believe sometime. You know, some of the very common words in the Bible, the very common words that we're very familiar with, like the word believe. We're strong on that one, aren't we? And it's big time, mentioned 272 times in the Bible, the word believe. Must be important. And then that word prayer, very, very, very important. Mentioned in the Bible 371 times, really important. And then the word love, that's a biggie. In the Bible, mentioned 714 times. You know, though we believe those are important words. But the word giving, giver, those kind of words, are mentioned 2,162 times. Listen carefully now. Three times more often than love is mentioned, the word give is mentioned. Seven times more often than the word prayer, the word giving is mentioned. Eight times more than the word believe, the word giving is mentioned. So we need to reevaluate really what we believe sometime, because you begin to look at those times that things are mentioned, and it really does begin to make us think. With that many mentions in the Bible about giving and the truth of stewardship, there are many opinions out there. I mean, it goes from pole to pole. We have the poverty crowd in our Catholic friends who sign a poverty oath and give up everything in life and put on a hairy shirt and scratch for the rest of their life. And believe that's God's will for their life. On the other side, we've got the Joy Boys on television saying that if you'll send them enough money and sow enough seed with them, you can drive a Bentley or a Mercedes. That's God's will for their life. And Baptists, bless their heart, they go from pole to pole. I mean, you can find a Baptist church believes about anything you believe anymore about it. But the question is, what does the Bible say about it? As a matter of fact, that's the only question. And with the importance that's put on it, the Bible says a great deal about it, you see. And we need to understand it. I'm here by design to talk about stewardship. Real Bible giving. Now, your preacher's told you time and time again, I'm sure of it, that stewardship involves more than just money. It involves your entire life, but it certainly involves money. And we have to come to realize that and understand that. It's a lifestyle. I'm probably going to aggravate some of you, so I want to do it real early so we can get over it before the invitation. From what the Bible says, it's absolutely clear that you cannot be a good Christian without being a good giver.
Amen.
Now, you most certainly can be a Christian without being a good giver. You most certainly can love God with all your heart without being a good giver. You'll go to heaven without being a good giver. But you can't be a good Christian without being a good giver. God was that ultimate example. For God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus followed up and said, I didn't come to this world to be ministered to, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. So every example we have in the Bible is an example of giving of our time, our talent, our treasure. And because it's so important, the Bible has a great deal to say about the way to do it. So for our time tonight, I want you to open your Bible, if you would, to that longest passage on giving in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 talks about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about it. And I want us for a little while tonight to study Bible guidelines for giving. Bible guidelines for giving. Now, please understand, we're talking about giving. We've already eclipsed tithing. Okay? Every honest, informed Christian is a tither. I really do need a little help there. Every honest, informed Christian is a tither. Now, it may be that you've never been informed. I'm about to remedy that. Quote, the tithe is the Lord's. Right? So that takes care of the informer. Now, what was that other problem? Oh, yeah, you may not be honest. Matter of fact, if I were a pastor and you were a member of my church and you didn't tithe and you lived next door to me, I'd lock my hen house at sunset every night. Because if you steal from God, you steal my chickens. Yeah. I just wouldn't want much to do with you. If you've been informed and you know and you don't do. You know, we have way too many Christians today in our churches just like this, praying for God to bless them when they never have put God first in their life. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Watch out now. And all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
All of what things? All that important stuff they were worried about there in Matthew 6, what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, where they're going to live, what they're going to drive, camel or mule. I mean, worried about the big time stuff, fretting over it. And Jesus just kind of said, oh, ye of little faith. So let's look at it for a little while tonight and get some Bible guidelines for giving. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. Very familiar. You'll have it all marked up. We're just going to rehearse. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, I reckon if there were not another verse in the Bible about this thing of giving, that would do it for me. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. You know, it's the same kind of verse the way I told you the other night. I was born in Arkansas. Hold the applause. I was born in Arkansas. If you want me to get something, you go slow and keep it simple. And when the preacher started talking about tithing, I'd never heard anything like that in my life. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And he kindly explained it, and then I didn't like what he was talking about. But I got it pretty quick. Here's the way I got it. Now, he was over there in that bad, bad chapter in that bad book, Malachi chapter 3. And it started off very... You know, we start down about verse 10, and everybody just goes, oh. It gets a lot better if you start earlier, back up in verse 6, And it's the most amazing statement. He said, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. I'm glad for that. I am. I'm just plumb glad for that. You know, and there's a reason he can't change. He's perfect. There's nowhere for him to go. You know, if Jesus played golf, he'd shoot an 18. Sure. He'd hit a home run every time he went up to bat. I mean, he's just perfect. And he said, I'm not going to change. So you don't need to change our book. What he said then's good today. We don't need it. And that means that what he's about to say right after he said that is still okay too. And he got down there and he got to talking to them, said, your father's messed up before you, and now you're acting just like him. You know, and they said, oh, how have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. You remember? And he said the most amazing thing to them. He said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. You know what storehouse is, don't you? Local, New Testament church, where your membership is. That's where every Christian's tithe is supposed to go. Okay. Not to our good radio pastor there. No. Not to your favorite evangelist of the hour. No. I hate to say things like that. But it's Bible. It's Bible. Not to your favorite Bible college. No. It's the local New Testament church that you're a member of. And we need to understand that. And he said, you bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. He said, I want you to do something. I want you to test me. I want you to try me. Prove me. And see if I won't open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive. Now, just before that, he said to them, you're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me. You're cursed with a curse. Now, I had to read that real slow. And here's the way I got the tithing thing. I read that top verse there where it said, now, if you don't tithe, cursed with a curse. Then I read that down in verse 10. Tithe, blessed. And I pondered that for, a long time. Had I rather live my Christian life cursed or blessed? I must have pondered that 3 or 4 seconds. And I said, you know, I believe I'd rather be blessed the rest of my life than cursed. And folks, it's just that simple. Tonight, you don't need to worry about all the ifs, ands, and buts. It's just that simple. It's a choice you make whether you wish to live as a Christian under a curse or blessed of God. So we're done with that. Every honest, informed Christian is a tither. We're talking about giving. We're talking about what you do after you get your tithe paid, right? You pay your tithe, you give your offerings. And giving is a whole different world. See, anybody can tell you what your tithe is. Your preacher, I know you don't know this, he is a mathematical genius. Absolute genius. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what my tithe would be. Ask your preacher. Son, he can tell you. All you got to do is tell him your gross income per week, and just like a computer, pow, he'll tell you precisely to the penny what your tithe ought to be. You don't believe it? Watch this. Pastor, don't mess this up. This is totally unrehearsed. It's spiritual. Don't mess it up. I'm a new Christian preacher. I've heard what you said about this tithe thing, and I saw it in the Bible. It's just like you said it was. And I'm not sure what my tithe would be. Now, I didn't have a good week this last week. I only made $2,000, but I did make $2,000. Preacher, how much would my tithe be? Did you hear him? Just like that, he said $200. Is that not brilliant? Didn't I tell you? But wait, we're not talking about tithe. We're talking about giving. With all of his intelligence, he doesn't have a clue about what you ought to give. He can't access that information. Now, he got that tithe thing out of the book. But the giving thing, see, he can't access that. That's between you and God. And so you need to say to God, now, dear God, I'm an honest Christian. I'm going to tithe. No question about that. I don't know how much you'd have me to give. And so you reveal to me what you'd have me to give over and above my tithe each week. And I'm telling you up front, I'll do it. Amen. And then as he reveals it to you, just jot it down. And tomorrow night, put it on the commitment card. And Sunday morning, start turning it in. That's all you have to do. It's pretty simple. But nobody else can tell you about that. Anybody can tell you what your tithe is. You're giving? Very personal, between you and God. Now let's look at the guidelines. I want to read to you, following verse 6, now verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We're all familiar with that verse, but it's just loaded up with good advice. Guideline number one, now you're taking notes, there'll be a test. This first one is heavy. First Bible guideline for giving is this, four-letter word, give. Yes. Did you notice what the verse said? Let's get it out of the verse. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him what?
Give.
Yeah, not tithe. That's already done. Now then, he is to give. Now, who's to give according to the verse? Every man. Isn't that amazing? Everyone, no exceptions. Every person, oldest person in here, youngest person in here. Every man, every woman, every husband, every wife. Every once in a while, the ladies go to too many of these seminars and they get hyper-spiritual and I preach something like, oh, I'm right, you're wrong. And you have a right to be wrong. And I'll preach somebody, and they'll come to him and they'll say, now, preacher, you don't understand. My husband is the head of the house. I know right then she ain't right. And he does the giving for the family. I don't know how to tell you, dear. He can't do that. He can only do the giving for himself. And then they get hyper and they say, well, you don't understand. He's the only one that has a job. He's the only one that has a paycheck. See, you're thinking about the tithe. You have to have income to tithe. All you have to give is a word from God. And besides, and then they'll say, you know, and I don't have any money. He has all the money. Look, I'm married to a woman, which I understand that's the way it's supposed to be. And don't tell me you ain't got any money. If I go home and I need some money, I'm not going to bank. I'm going to Wanda. Could you let me have a 20 till tomorrow? She's got money. She's got money in snuff cans. She's got money in coffee cans. She's got money in everything. Yeah. Somebody says, where did she get it? Ask your husband. He'll tell you. Everybody's to give. See, Now look, I'm not going to get done, but I hadn't finished a sermon in years, so who cares? Nobody knows but me. See, some of you already planned, and your husband's going to make out a card, you're not going to do nothing. Now, it's shameful that you're willing to miss a blessing on your life because you've not been informed. You need to get with God about what he'd have you to give. Every woman, every wife, every teenager, every junior high, every senior high, everybody ought to make out a card. You ought to get with God. You say, you don't understand. I don't have any money. When you want something, you get it, don't you? that simple. So let every man give. Let me give you a pitiful statistic. If somebody's giving them, I think all of them's pitiful, but I like to give them as long as you have to take them. 4 out of 10 church attenders today give absolutely nothing. It took me a while, being from Arkansas, it took me a while to figure out that word nothing comes from two English words we have, no thing. And 4 out of 10 church attenders today give no thing and do no thing. They're consumer Christians. They are not contributing Christians. They come to get, not to give. But here's the next thing. Another 2 or 3 give next to nothing, which leaves about 3 taking care of the load. Ought not be that way. You say, preacher, are you going to talk about money all week? I'm going to talk about it through Friday night anyway. If the preacher lets me come back anyway. But see, it's not really about money. Listen very carefully. Don't miss it. Giving, you don't think God needs the money, do you? Let's get straight on. You think God needs the money? If you do, you might all remember where he lives. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. No, he doesn't need the money. It's not about the money. Giving is a reminder. Are you ready? It's a reminder that our life is about God, not us. Amen. It is a reminder, this is humbling, that I'm not the point. God is the point. Amen. Giving is a reminder that God does not exist for me. I exist for him. Giving is a reminder that I own nothing and God owns everything. And I need that reminder on the first day of every week. And so when I sit down and write out my tithe, it's not about the 10%. That is only a weekly reminder that the other 90% belongs to him also. And every spending decision for a Christian is a spiritual decision. Somehow we've got this idea, and it's been preached out of these kind of pulpits. You get your tithe paid, and you give your offering. The rest of it's yours to do as you please, and that's a lie out of hell. Amen. That's all God's, and you need his direction. But we don't talk to him about when we get ready to spend it, do we? We want a new house, we talk to the finance company. We want a new car, we talk to the bank. We want a vacation, we see if we can borrow enough money. Sure. And then we say, we know it's God's, but we talk about my money, my house, my family, my vacation, my retirement, my Social Security. We need to get straight on who it belongs to. Amen. And we're just stewards of it. So guideline number one, give. Guideline number two, give generously. Give generously. In Mark 14, there's a story that most of you know. It's about a lady by the name of Mary who had a sister by the name of Martha who had a brother who died who was privileged to be one who Jesus rose from the dead. And they were sitting at a celebration supper, I suppose, of sorts there in Mark 14, enjoying a brother. And Mary sat there and she looked over at that brother, and the last time she saw him, he was stone cold dead. Pallor, no color, stiff. She glances at him now and there's a twinkle in his eye. There's color in his cheeks. Maybe he's smiling, maybe he's laughing, he's enjoying the meal. And something begins to bubble up inside that woman. She looks over perhaps to the other end of the table. There sits the one that made it all possible. There sits Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty. And it gets out of control. She couldn't have been Baptist because she got happy about it. She went into the house. You can read the story. And got the most valuable thing in all of the world to her. She got what the Bible calls a box of alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brought it and anointed Jesus Christ with it. And that proves she wasn't a Baptist, because had she been a Baptist, she'd have put 10% on him. And then she'd have thrown in 2% for missions. Huh? And guess what? The stingy religious crowd there rebuked her. Those religious tightwads who like to control God's money, they'll give it if they can control it. They can give it if they didn't have the say in it. You know, and they see good things as waste, sending all this money to these missionaries. You know, we could be using that for our properties and our buildings and our expansion. No. You know what Jesus said about it, doesn't he? Jesus had a word for him. He told him, said, shut your mouth. It's in there. Shut your mouth. Listen, she hath done what did he call it? A good thing. She hath done a good thing. What did she do? She gave. She gave generously. And Jesus said the most amazing thing. You don't find it about anything else in the Bible. Jesus said, I want you tightwads to understand something. This thing she's done, as long as the gospel is being preached anywhere in the world, what she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of who? Of her. A memorial of her, an eternal memorial. And by the way, that verse is being fulfilled again in your ears tonight in 2016.
Amen.
You reckon in heaven she's still begrudging the fact that she dumped the whole bottle on him? No. I think she's saying the best thing I ever done was when I learned to give generously. Here's the deal. The more calculating a Baptist is, the less they usually give. I don't know who keeps the money around here. I don't know where you keep it. I've looked and looked and looked. But whoever you are in this room, if you see somebody's check coming in every week, and it's for $127.37, you got one religious tightwad on your hands. He ain't about to round it on up to 40 cents, and he's sure not going to round it on up to $140. He is a religious tightwad. He has calculated it out. He ain't rounding nothing up. He'll round down, if anything. You know. And that's just not, look, love generates generosity. You sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and you tied as a bark on a blackjack tree, something's wrong. I know some Baptists so tight they won't wear rubber heels on their shoes. They're afraid they'll give when they walk. They pull their glasses way down like this so they won't wear them out looking through them. Stingy. Huh? Sure. We are to be a generous people. God bankrupted heaven, if you please, when he gave his son, Jesus Christ. What a generous offering. You say, well, just what is a generous offering? Well, one size doesn't fit all. I can give you a hint. If you'll check out what you spend on yourself, you know, go at it like this: house payments, car payments, smartphones, high def television, cable, satellite, Wi-Fi, all these important things, Starbucks, Super Gulp. And add all that up every week. That would be generous, because we are normally very generous with ourselves. and very stingy with God. And it needs to be turned around, and this is the crowd to do it, the one sitting right here tonight. Remember what he said, a memorial for giving. Now, he doesn't say that about soul winning, and soul winning is ultra important. He doesn't say that about praying. He doesn't say that about singing. But he does say it over and over about giving. Number one, give. Now, who's to give? Every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. You ought to sit down with your boys and girls and help them discern what the Lord would have them to give. And they'll get the money. Don't you worry about them. And teach them. And then you can quit having meetings like this if we teach our kids right. So give. Everybody give. Give generously. A third guideline, give regularly. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Most of you would be familiar with it. Paul is writing to the church there in Corinth. And he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, being from Arkansas, says upon the first day of the week. See, I was grown before I knew the first day of the week wasn't Monday. It's when it started for me. I didn't know nothing about this Sunday stuff. But when is the first day of the week? Sunday, absolutely. And so where did Paul assume the Christians were going to be on the first day of the week? In church. And what were they to do? Lay by him in store as God has prospered. When do you do it? Upon the first day of the week, Sunday. Now, don't get hyper and don't go commit suicide and all that stuff. And don't think you're under curse. But it doesn't say do it on the 1st and 15th. It doesn't say do it every other week when you get paid. It doesn't say do it when the SS comes through on the 3rd. No, it says on the first day of the week. You say, but preacher, it's the same amount of money whether I do it once a month or weekly. I've already told you once and you wasn't listening. It's not about the money. It's the fact that we need a weekly reminder that everything belongs to God, and the tithe is that reminder. That tree in the garden that God told him to leave alone, that wasn't there by mistake. You know, he knew Adam's nature, his nature. You ever heard of that? I think that's what we have, Adamic nature. Yeah. And he knew Adam's nature. He put him in that beautiful garden, and he knew if he just left him alone, it wouldn't be 90 days till he'd forget who the garden belonged to. He'd call his neighbor and say, come on, I'll show you my garden. Man, it was a mess when I took over, but I look at it, and about that time, he'd bump into that tree. Now, that tree was not a tithe, but it was a reminder of what the tithe's all about. That tree reminded them the garden's not yours. It's God's, and you're just a steward of it. The tithe does what that tree did, and we need to understand that, you see. And on the first day of the week, you know, you say, but same amount of money. Yeah, but if you get it once a month, you can divide by four, can't you? That'll work. And it sure does help with the budget. And everybody knows what's going on. First day of the week. So here's what I'm saying. Plan your giving. Give God the first fruits of everything. In every church I go to, except this one, of course, there's always two or three people there, and they'll drop in maybe $2,000 or $3,000 once or twice a year. And people say, man, aren't they good givers? No, they want to be stroked. They want attention. The good givers are the one on the first day of the week, every week, put in their 100, their 200, their 500, whatever their tithe and offering is, count on them. Snow, it'll be there. Ice, it'll be there. Rain, it'll be there. Sick, it'll be there. Vacation, it'll be there. School starting, it'll be there. Christmas, it'll be there. Easter, it'll be there. You can count. Those are the good givers. And you need to join that crowd. Plan your giving. Number four. Now, I'm hurrying. I know you can't tell it. But the other gear I've got, you won't like at all. number four. Number one, give. Who's to give? Now, we're going to keep going back till you get it. Every man, every woman. Women, the man can't do it for you. You claim he can't do anything right, so. Give. Number two, give generously. Number three, give regularly. Number four, give deliberately. Go back to 2 Corinthians 9:7 now, where we're reading from. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Did you notice that? As he purposeth in his heart. Now, just exactly what does that mean? Well, it's heavy theological stuff. That means you do it on purpose.
Amen.
Nobody evolves into being a good giver. You have to do it on purpose.
Yes.
You have to sit in meetings like this and say, you know, that's what the Bible says. And I've not been doing that because I hadn't purposed to do it. But I'm going to begin to do it, and I'm going to do it on purpose, and I'm going to nail it down, and I'm going to put it in my Bible so every week I'd look at it and say, that's what you purposed to do, and I'm going to do it. Do it on purpose. Do it deliberately. You know, no one is a good giver by chance. Hey, I know this will shock you. We are born selfish. Man, I came into this world squalling. I wanted something. Squalled till I got it. Found out I could get it by squalling. I squalled till I was half grown. Then I became a teenager and it got worse. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Then I got saved. Somebody said, that fixed it, didn't it? Did it help you a lot? You know why I got saved? Now we'll just have confession and don't you look at me and judge me. Do you know why I got saved? Same reason you did, for what I could get out of it. Don't you get spiritual on me. Well, I just got saved because I love God supremely. How long you had this lying problem? You didn't have a clue what love was. You say, but preacher, don't you love the Lord? I love him more tonight than I ever have. But I love him because he first loved me.
Amen.
When I was unlovely and unloving and uncaring. And we need to see, we are selfish, you see. And our giving needs to be a deliberate act of worship, a contemplated act of worship, meaningful, deliberate, something we have thought about, we have prayed about, and we're doing it on purpose. Don't get in your car and get in a fuss with the wife and make out the check on the way to church because she's nagging you about it. That's very worshipful. Now, fight all the way to church, get out, slam the car door, mad as the devil, turn around and see the preacher. Hi, Pastor, lovely Lord's Day, isn't it? Sure. And you come in, sit down, cross your arms and say, now, preacher, bless me if you can. I'm doing my best. You need to make it an act of worship. You know, I'm an 8-track person. I'm caught up in a digital world. I don't know what's going on. I got stuff at my little home office. I have things that the only way you can do it is monthly, you know, like telephone and insurance. And every month it's always the same thing. And somehow or another, somebody told me I could do this and do that and do the, and so what I do, I get on the computer. See, I can turn it on. And I hit one or two or three of those things. And the first thing I know, they got their money and they happy and my bank account went down that much and I ain't done nothing but sit there in the office. Some of them, even, I don't even do the thing. It just comes a certain day of the month. Now, you don't need to do this. I'm just telling you what some of my stuff. And for on a certain day of the month, you can just go ahead and count it. That money's gone. I hadn't wrote nothing. I hadn't okayed nothing. I hadn't said do it. They just do it. Because way back there, I signed something. Gone. Automatic. Don't even have to think about it. I ain't going to miss that because I don't even have to think about it. But I don't want everything on automated pay. Wanda, my wife, we've been married 7 years come August. And it's been the most amazing thing. Every year since we've been married, she's had a birthday. And it always comes the same day. November 29th. Now, the way I remember it, she starts in February, saying, I remember my birthday comes up in November. And we go through that for the next 9 months. And I thought, you know, I better not miss her birthday. And so I thought what I need to do is go down to the floral store in Joshua and give them my charge card and say, now put this on record. And here's my signature so that you can copy it and write just like that. And on the 28th of November every year, I want you to find the most beautiful bouquet in America. Don't worry about the cost. Just the most beautiful bouquet in America. I want you to get it. Be sure it's perfect. Put a card on it to my love with all my heart, J.C. House. Try to write like I do now and get just like that. And on the 28th of November, one night before her birthday, I want you to deliver that, and don't you ever fail. I thought, you know, that way I don't have to think about it. And then I thought about it. I said, no. So here's what I have found out. I'm a slow study, but I'm 7 years into this now. I have found out that if I'll do my very best to find out exactly what she wants from me for her birthday, and I'll purposely, deliberately get that far, if it is humanly possible, it always works out best for me. And guess what? If you and I will be that attentive with God about what he wants to receive from us, and then deliberately on purpose see that he gets it, it always works out best for us. Amen. Just need to do it deliberately. And then do it voluntarily. Number five, guideline number four, do it voluntarily. Look back at our verse. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, watch now, not grudgingly or of necessity. See, we're not to give that way for that reason. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Now, we preachers, I ain't taking this rap by myself. We say stupid things sometimes. Our brain doesn't think so, or it's at our mouth. But anyway, they're not coordinated, and we say dumb things. When I first started preaching, all I knew was what I'd heard other fellows say. And it'd come offering time. I'd say something like this. I'd say, all right, now it's offering time. Let's all dig in and give till it hurts. Ain't that a blessing? It's offering time. God wants to hurt you again. No. No. And I have dumber ones I've said, we've said. Goes like this. All right, folks, look around. All of this equipment, all this fancy stuff, all of the things that are going on, it takes a lot of money to operate this place. Let's give it, let's dig in now and give according to the need. Doesn't that sound spiritual? And all the time the Bible's screaming out, no. Not grudgingly? No, not of necessity, not because of need. Would you listen carefully? It is wrong to give because of need. You say, well, good night, preacher. If we didn't give because of need, why would we ever give? Oh, there's only one reason. Because you love God and choose to obey him. Amen. And if you would do that, there wouldn't be any need. Now, I'm not against the pastor presenting need. I'm just against you giving because of it. If he mentions need, that means somebody's not doing what God wants them to do. Amen. Because when we do, there is no unmet need. All need supplied. And we're to do it voluntarily. Let me give you an Old Testament verse. Exodus 35 and verse 21. This is just wonderful. It says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred them up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering. Two things had to happen to them before they could bring the offering rightly. Number one, their heart had to get stirred up, and number two, their spirit had to be made willing. We got a lot of Baptists with heart trouble and some with spirit trouble, and we need to get well, you see. Some folks just have heart problems that prevent them from being willing givers. And I think it's too bad that as churches in the past, we've operated on a don't ask, don't tell basis. And now we have generations of Christians who really don't know how to give. And so we're trying to make it up. Let me give you one other thing, and I'll just quit on purpose. Now, I don't have to if you'll encourage me. No, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. Guideline number 6, give with excellence. Look to chapter 8, just across the page, probably. And remember, chapter 8 is talking about giving. Chapter 9 is talking about giving. These chapters and verses are put in here by man, you understand, just to help us locate stuff. And here in 2 Corinthians 8 and in verse 7, it's an amazing thing. What Paul's going to do, he's going to name 5 graces. Now, chapter 8 and chapter 9 are talking about the grace of giving. But here in verse 7, he's going to name 5 graces, and then he's going to put a postscript on it. Follow along in verse 7, chapter 8, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and in all diligence, and in your love to us and knowledge, I missed it, see that you abound in this grace also. See that you abound in this grace also. What grace? Well, do it contextually. What's context? The grace of giving. So he said, now look, you're abounding in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in your love to us. See to it. Take care to see to it that you abound in this grace also. You excel in it. You excel in all of it. You excel in giving. Do it with excellence, in other words. I don't know a thing about music. I know when I like it and when I don't like it. But I'd love to play the piano. I'd give anything to play the piano. I really would. Somebody said, well, preacher, all you got to do is take lessons and practice. No, you wasn't listening to me. I don't want to take lessons and practice. I want to play the piano. Whole lot of Christians would like to excel in giving and in being a good Christian, but they just don't want to take lessons and they don't want to practice. If you're going to do it with excellence, you're going to have to practice. Listen, we teach the pursuit of excellence in everything else in the world. You can find any kind of seminar in the Baptist church you want to find now, from big game hunting seminars to civil law seminars to criminal law seminars to ladies' seminars and men's seminars and youth seminars and Christian law seminars and church growth seminars. Why don't we try to excel in this giving thing? Just get it done. We're admonished to. So let's begin to practice. What do you say? How do you do it? Well, number one, you start with that tithe. You just get honest with God about the tithe. Then you spend enough time with God from now till tomorrow night to determine exactly what he'd have you to do. You've got your cards. If you don't, be sure and pick one up. And it's pretty simple. It just has a place on there for you to mark how much you're promising each week to give. I don't see any place to sign the name. You know why? Because it's not between you and the church. It's between you and God. And you need to ask the Lord. And it goes from $5 a week to $100 a week. But there's a blank one down there where you can fill out whatever amount God puts on your heart. And then there's a place to write your class and your teacher and that kind of thing. But that just kind of lets them know what age group it's coming from. Besides, they have writing experts who come in who diagnose who made out which card anyway. And then they'll know all of that. You get your tithe straight. You get this. You say, "Preacher, I'm just not in the position to do that." Let me tell you one quick and I'm done. When I began to get my life right, when I first married many years ago, and my first wife passed away, but when I first married, I didn't have anything but debt. Nothing but debt. And someone said, "Two can live as cheap as one." Well, they're lying dogs. Because I got married and all I got was more debt. Huh? But we got in church and tried to get our life right and got some Bible teaching and heard some of the strangest stuff, you know. It was right, but it was strange to me. They wasn't singing my kind of music at all. And sure wasn't doing my kind of entertainment, which you can find in some churches today still. But nothing changed. Nothing changed. All I had was still more debt. I began to study the Bible and I began to get some wisdom because the Bible says, "If any man lack wisdom," and boy, I said, "That's me." And I began to get some, but nothing changed. Here's the deal. I never got any debt relief. I never got any kind of financial advancement at all until I decided that when I absolutely knew I could not afford to tithe and give offerings, that we would tithe and give offerings. And from that moment on, I have experienced God's blessings in my life. Didn't happen overnight. Somebody said, "How long do you think it'll take to get me out of this mess I'm in?" I don't know how long you've been getting into it. But I can tell you how to get on the road to getting out of that mess you're in. And that is to begin right now in all your mess and in all your difficulties and in all your financial distress, you begin to obey the book, begin to tithe, ask God what to give, and by faith, just do it.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.